read together verses 1 through 9. Amen. Truly, we thank God this evening for just the opportunity to be here to assemble ourselves together. Amen. We never take it for granted. The goodness of the Lord and how God keeps us in spite of everything that's happening around about us. And tonight, if it had not been for our God, amen, if God had not been a sustainer, if God had not been our keeper, if God had not been a way maker, where would we be tonight? So truly, we thank God, amen, for all of his wonderful benefits. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto God for all of his benefits unto me? Amen. If you say in your right mind, that's a benefit. Amen. If you have to life, health, and strength, those are benefits. So in spite of all that's happening about us, we need to still thank God. You know, as I was down here praying tonight, I was thinking, you know, one of the things that the adversary likes to use against us is diversionary tactics. Amen. You know what a diversionary tactic is? Any volunteers? Amen. Something to throw us off. If you remember back in the first Gulf War, this was a diversionary attack. The United States was going to war. This is when they attacked Kuwait, was taking over Kuwait. And what they did is they actually used a diversionary attack because they kept talking about this amphibious attack. All right, so. So the Iraqis had prepared themselves, every coast, as far as the water was coming in, as far as ships coming in, and they had all the ships there, but it was a diversion, because they were looking for them to come through the sea, but guess what? They didn't come through the sea. So that war was won without a shot being fired because they used a diversionary tactic. Amen. Well, that's what the devil does in our lives. He uses diversionary tactics. We look for him to come one way, and he comes another way. Those are diversionary tactics. All right, so let's read, start at verse 1. Reads, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew, watching not what the scripture said of Isaiah by us, how he made an intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and we recommend something. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. First of all, we thank you for the mind to be saved. Lord, we thank you for a place of assembly. And Lord, we thank you that on this evening that we can serve you in the land of peace and in the land of liberty. Lord, we take nothing for granted. For we realize these last days were prophesied thousands of years ago. Lord, we trust and believe that we have been young and now we are old. Never have we seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Lord, tonight we ask you to speak. Oh God, search every heart. Lord, search every mind. And then send thy word of anointing to fill those needs according to your riches and glory. Now, Lord, at this time we acknowledge that without you we can do nothing. Lord, except you stop by here and leave us a blessing, all of our labors in vain. But we trust, Lord, that if we ask anything according to your will and in your name, you do it. Now, Lord, send thy word of anointing. Send thy word of inspiration. Lord, break stony hearts. Lord, we ask you to break stubborn wills. Lord, most of all, give us a mind to yield our hands into thy hand. Lord, give us tonight a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen, and you may be seated. Amen. God is a good God. Hey, can I get another bottle of water? Amen. God indeed is a good God. I guess it must have been hard. I drink the other one real fast. So. Amen. So I'll take another one. But tonight, actually, I was trying to prepare, another message that I had been studying, but this topic I couldn't get away from. I'd be studying in one area, and all of a sudden, when you do your cross references, I wind up at the same place. So I said, Lord, I surrender. Anybody believe in surrendering? Amen. Surrendering said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. So I'm going to go to verse 8. Amen. Before I give you our topic, I'm going to go to verse 8. And let us read verse 8. It says, according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber. Amen. And slumber is the Greek word katanixis, C-K-A-N-T-A-N-Y-X-I-X, katanixis. I gotta learn some Greek, you gotta learn some Greek too. And that word actually means a stupor, all right? Katanixis means it's a stupor. And the meaning of the word stupor is a spirit that is dull or a spirit that is insensitive to hearing the word of God. A spirit that is dull. A spirit that is insensitive to hearing the word of God. And because they cannot hear God's word, they are dull. And then and another meaning also for a stupor is, anybody ever have your hand or arm fall asleep? You know, I remember years ago I was working and I was sitting somewhere and you jump up and everything is asleep. Time you jump up, you go down. You know, that tingling sensation. Well, it also carries about the meaning of being asleep, though you are awake. Asleep, though you are awake. So stupor means to be lethargic, spiritually inactive. Amen. And most of all, to have a dull ear to hear and respond to the word of God. Amen. So that's what a stupor is. But then verse 9 reads, of the same chapter, says that, and David said, let their table be a snare. And the word snare is an entrapment or an entanglement. So when you're in a stupor, amen, when you're dull, when your ears are dull, you hear the word of God, but you do not actually assimilate it or process it. It's like it falls on deaf ears. You hear, and Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, he said, Lord, why do you keep speaking to them in parables? He said, because having ears, say what? Hear not. And having eyes, say, see not. And their hearts do not understand. Amen. That is a stupor. That is, you are alive, but you really are dead. But then David talks about being ensnared, or being is an entanglement. It's called being trapped. Okay? And as I was reading that trap, I thought about a web. Everybody know about those spider webs? Everybody hates spider webs, right? Yeah, you see spider webs, people be fighting, and the more you fight, the more they come. But a web is something that entangles and it entraps you. All right, for instance, a lot of people are calling the web of alcoholism. It's a web. It's something that entraps them, something that they cannot get out of with their own power. Then there are others that are called in the web of narcotics or drugs. They're trapped. They just can't get out of it. You know, you see people using, and you know, you ever talk to some of those people, and when you look way down in the eyes, sometimes as a child of God, we have to look beyond their outward appearance. But when you look down into the eyes, across the eyes are the window panes of the soul. When you look in their eyes, it's like they're saying, help. You know, they're reaching out for help, but that web of whatever it is, the narcotics, the alcohol, the nicotine, it could be pornography. The web is something that has you trapped. And Peter said it this way, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. That is a web, something that has you bound. Some people are overcome with this, with a lying spirit. Some people are overcome with the dishonest spirit. Some people are overcome with the spirit of all about self. But that's a web, amen, and you can't get out of it. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but they're what? The only way that we can break some of the webs that are in our lives is we have to go through God. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 7, he said, an old wretched man that I am. Amen. Paul was a holy and a righteous man, but there was always a fight in his body. So Paul says, old wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Amen. Paul said, when I look at me, I'm wretched. Amen. I'm undone. Paul referred to himself as the least of all of the apostles. But he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So tonight, the web that many of us may be confronted with, we cannot overcome it alone with willpower. This web cannot be overcome by our own intellect, our own powers, but we can only do it through Christ. Paul tells the church of Corinthians in chapter 15 that our victory is through Jesus. Amen. So tonight, the topic that we want to deal with is caught in a web of spiritual stupor. Caught in a web of spiritual stupor. Now, what makes it bad is that we hear, but we do not respond. Amen? So now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now Paul once again tells them that God has given them the spirit of slumber, which is that they're in a stupor. Oh, wait a minute. Before we go there, let me read one other verse here in this 11th chapter. Oh, there's one other verse that I need to read first. Hold on one second. Verse 7. Before verse 8. It says, what then? Israel has not obtained that which is seeking for. Talking about the perfection in Christ. Talking about salvation. Israel had not yet obtained that. And there was a reason why they didn't obtain it. And it says, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were, that means that they were hardened in their hearts. Amen. So what led to this spirit of stupor was a hard heart. Okay? Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And, no, sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to start off reading in verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. So tonight, what we're trying to overcome is the web of a spiritual stupor. Amen. A spiritual stupor, once again, you are alive, but you are also asleep. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 reads, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. God's plan for salvation. God's foundation standeth sure. In other words, a lot of times people say, God is mad at me because this is what happened to me. God's word is set, will not be altered, will not be changed for any of us. And what that means is that there are certain consequences as well as benefits to being obedient to God's word. But when we are disobedient, then there are consequences. Obedience brings blessings, disobedience brings consequences. So when we go so far away from God and disobeying God and doing our own thing, then we reap that. We say, God is mad at us. God is never mad, for God so loved the word that he gave his only begotten. God is not mad, but God's word cannot be altered nor changed. And what he uses in the book of Galatians, the show that we sow and we reap, he reused the very law of nature. God's word is like the law of nature. Now, all of us have planted something one time, haven't we? Anybody have a garden? Amen. Anybody plant any tomatoes? Well, when you plant those tomatoes, did you go out and look for a squash? No, why? Because you reap what you what? We're sowing in our lives. When we do certain things and they are not for God's blessings, then unfortunately we have to receive for the wrong. And the scripture says plainly, with God there is no respect of person. So our reaping process is not because God is angry at us. We reap because God's word cannot be altered. So it is for the saint and so it is for the sinner. Amen. But God holds us that are saved to a higher level of accountability. So when the unsaved does some things, they do it in ignorance. But when we do it in defiance. And because defiance carries a greater penalty, sometimes we receive a harsher punishment for what we do wrong. But that's not that God is angry. The issue is that God's word cannot be altered nor changed. So you must reap what you sow. And he says plainly, there's no respect of persons. So nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth what? God knows them that are his, and they said, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from lawlessness. In other words, lawlessness is the hearts of many are waxed cold and they do what they want to do because they are in a stupor. Once again, a stupor is a position of lethargy. Inactivity are spiritually insensitive to hearing the word of God. That's a dangerous position to be in. When we are insensitive to hearing God's word. Verse 20 reads, but in a great house there are not only vessels of good and of gold and of silver and of wood and of earth, but some are to honor and some are to dishonor. So we got all of these different things where? In the house. It says, but if a man would purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel. What are you purging yourself from? That stupor, that dishonor, that not hearing, but hearing but not hearing, and seeing but not seeing, but receiving but not understanding. So God said, now you need to clean that up. In other words, you need to bring about a spiritual change in your life. So it says, if a man would purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master use, and most of all, he's prepared unto what? Every good word. Flee also youthful lust, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a kind of heart, out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender stripes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto, apt to teach, and patient. And then Paul continues to tell why. He See, in meekness, instructing those that do what? Those that are in a spiritual stupor, actually, in all actuality, they are opposing themselves. When they refuse to yield to the Word of God, when they build up a wall of insensitivity, when they approach God with a lethargic attitude, when they approach God and they're in just asleep and awake, they are opposing themselves and saying, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the what? So the purpose that we come to church is God wants us to repent and acknowledge the truth. But if you remain in that spiritual stupor, the next verse explains our problem that we have. It says, if you stay in that stupor, if you refuse to yield, if you refuse to have an ear to hear God's word, if you keep a hard and penitent heart, he says, that they may recover themselves, how? Out of the well of the devil. The devil has a well. It's an entrapment, trying to keep us bound. Not only does he have us in a snare, who are taken what? Captive by him and his will. So when we do not yield to the word of God, when we remain in our spiritual stupor, when we keep a hard heart, it says that we are taken captive by the devil and his will. And most of all, we are opposing ourselves. So Paul tells them in Romans that they are in a spirit of slumber. Now let us go to Ephesians chapter 5. Actually, before that, let's go to Romans chapter 13. Let's hit just a couple of verses in Romans 13. We're dealing now, is Paul writing to the saved or the unsaved? All right, come on, everybody. Is Paul writing to the saved or the unsaved? He's writing to the saved. But he's writing to them about being what? A slumber or sleeping. Amen. Romans chapter 13, and we're going to go to verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, O no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this same name, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, it is a guessing the time, we what? Know the time. We know the day, we know the period that we're living in. It says that knowing the time, it is now high time for men to what? Who's asleep? The church. Who's slumbering? Who's in a stupor? The church. He said, knowing the time. Knowing what everything was around us. It says high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation what? Nearer than when we first believed. Knowing the time. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's go to verse 14. We want to do what? Awake out of sleep. That sleep is a spiritual stupor. It is an insensitivity to hearing God's word and responding adequately or properly. We hear, we know, but we do not respond because it's not down in our heart. Verse 14 reads, wherefore he says, awake thou that what? Who is he writing to again? You mean the church can be asleep? Yes. Matthew chapter 25, everybody knows it talks about what? The 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were what? But they all slumber and slept. Amen. What are we talking about? The church. Even today, that slumbering, that sleeping is a stupor. Actually, the word stupor could mean to be hibernate, or mean to estimate. Hibernate, you ever see bears when they come out of hibernation in the wintertime? They're all lethargic and, you know, just, they can't get their bearing. Have you ever heard somebody say, that person is a drunken stupor? Right? They don't know what's going on. They're just moving and walking. Well, that slumber, that sleeping spirit, makes you unaware of what's going on. So a stupor could be either hibernating, which means that you're just sleeping it off in the cold, or you're estivating, you're sleeping it off because it's too hot. Right? So that stupor means a position of inactivity. Spiritually, you're not active. Spiritually, you're not praying. Spiritually, you're not responding to God's word, so you're in a well. And that well is a spiritual stupor. You fight, you know, I'm tired of being like this. So we purpose to get out of this position that we're in by doing it our way. But we can only get victory through Jesus. Because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We keep trying to fight this spiritual stupor. Well, we're trying to fight it with our own might and our own power. You will not win. You will lose every time, because that well, Paul refers to it as a stronghold. It's not going to let you out. The harder you fight, the more the devil fights to keep you entwined and interwoven and all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in his captivity. So we look at ourselves and we realize I'm in a deplorable condition. I need a change, and we work hard to change, but we refuse to surrender to God. That's the only way that we get help is to surrender. So he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the who? The church is dead? Amen? It means to be spiritually insensitive. Not having an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying to the church. Then hearing and not adequately responding to the church. And Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as... A fool means ignorant, someone that's unknowing. We're not supposed to walk like we don't know. Because we're in the church, we're supposed to walk as we do know. What does the fool say? The fool says in his heart, there's no God. So God says, now, I don't need you to conduct your life like a fool. When you do it, act like there's no God. Amen. So you should see that you walk not as a fool, walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as what? Wise. The fool acts like God does not see them. The fool carries themselves like God does not know. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 29, and then we'll come back to this quickly. Go to Isaiah chapter 29. We are not to carry ourselves in a position like God doesn't see, God doesn't know. You know, we all say, you know what? If we see a saint coming and we're doing the wrong thing, whether it's dress, talk, or walk, when we see a saint, we try and clean it up. Right? Hello? Yeah, you know we do that. When we see somebody and we're not doing the right thing, we don't want them to see it, so we clean it up. God neither slumbers nor sleep. When you're in a spiritual stupor, our focus of concentration is on this horizontal plane and not on our vertical plane. The spiritual stupor has you doing everything to please man. And in essence, you're forgetting all about God. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. Hold on, let me get this really quick. This just came to me. So let's start off with verse 9. Isaiah chapter 29. Not to walk as fools, but as what? Wise. Why not a fool? Because a fool walk like there's no God. Amen. Like there are no consequences to their wrong. That's a fool. He said, I want you to walk as wise. Verse 9 says, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken. But what? They stagger. They're in a stupor. They're drunk. They act like they're animal. You know, you ever see a drunk person? I used to, I won't tell that story. That's going way back. Drunk people just don't know what's going on around them. Let's put it that way, okay? I know y'all want to tell me, sir. I ain't going to tell you. All right, but drunk people don't, it wasn't bad. It was good in a bad way. But when you're drunk, your faculties are not what they ought to be. In other words, someone can pull the wool over your eyes and you just don't know it. Amen. Like most of the people that are alcoholic get paid on Friday and go to the bar and come home broke. Right? They didn't spend all that money, but they've been taken advantage of because they're in a stupor and they don't know what's happening. Well, the church should never, ever be in that position. So he says, but not with wine they stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured upon you the spirit of what? Who is he talking about? The church. They're walking around like they're drunk and unaware, unaware of what's going on. They're staggering. Their whole lives are mucking out a mess because they refuse to submit to God. And because they refuse, he said, God has poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets, your rulers, the seers has he covered. And the vision of all this become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is. Talk about the word of God. They know it. But when they deliver it to them, it's like a sealed book. I know it's in the Bible, and I know this is what God says, but they don't have the understanding. Because God has given them the spirit of deep sleep. They are walking about as though they are drunk because they refuse to submit to God. Now go to the next verse. Wherefore the Lord says, for as much as his people do what? They say all the right things. Amen. He said, they draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their hearts. Their hearts are too far from me. Amen. God asked the children of Israel, he said, what iniquity have you found in me that you've gone so far away? So he said, the problem they have, the reason that they are blinded, the reason they're in this stupor, the reason they walk around like they're drunk, though they're not drunk, their hearts have they removed from me. Their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work, and they wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek. When your heart gets too far from God, this is when you know you're in a spiritual stupor. Amen. This is when you know that you need God to help you because you can't help yourself. It says, they seek to hide their plans and connivings from God. I'm gonna do it, but I'm not gonna let God do it. I'm gonna do this, but I'm gonna act like, remember he said, they draw near to me with their lips. They honor me with their words, but their hearts are what? Far from me. So what God is saying, what they are coming, but they don't think I see. God said they think they're hiding all their connivings and planning and scheming from me. That's a stupor. Anytime we get in a position where we think we can do something, God don't see it, we're drifting. You know, I watched this rescue program, and these men were on a ship out in the middle of the ocean, and the motor died. Guess what? They began to drift. Amen. When you lose your spiritual control, when you lose your spirituality, you begin to drift. What are you drifting? You're driven wherever the devil is taking you captive at his will, wants you to go. Amen. It's time to get out of this spiritual stupor. It says, they seek to hide their counsel from the Lord. Their counsel is plans, connivings, you know. Somebody said, well, let's make it look like we're going to do this, but in our hearts, we really know it's not true. They're trying to hide their true motives. They're trying to hide what they're doing from God. and their works are in the dark, and they say, this is when you know you're in a stupor. Who seeth us and who knows? Amen? That's a stupor. God sees and God knows. But the issue is, we're caught in that web of a spiritual stupor. And we keep trying to get out of it. And we fight harder. But the thing about a web, you know, if you ever see those insects when they get caught, the harder they fight, the more they get what? Tangled up. We're trying to get out, but we're trying to do it our way. And we can't do it. Our deliverance comes through God. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. What are the Ephesians? Yeah, 5. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. And once again, it says that, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools, but as God sees. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. Amen. We can put on all the fronts that we want and act like we're fooling mankind, but our issue is not with man. Our true issue is with who? God. We're in a stupor. Amen. We can't get out. The harder we fight, the more we get deeper into it. You know, it's like those people that are caught, that are hooked on those, especially the drugs and the different type habits that are to their destruction. You look at them and you say, why don't you break that habit? That habit is destroying you, but that web won't let them out. Tonight, I'm fair to say in the church, a lot of us are caught in that web. We go through all of the motions. We move, we talk, we walk, but the issue is in the heart. Our hearts are drifting away from God. Amen. The heart has become stony. The heart is no longer pliable. Amen. In church, yes, I hear, I know, I should do. But the problem is when you don't purpose in your heart to do the right thing, once you go out the door, the old man takes over all over again. See then as you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming time cannot be wasted. Amen. I got to be on the Lord's side. I got to work for the Lord. Amen. Matt, please let the redeemer of the Lord. What? Come on, let the redeemer of the Lord be as redeemed. Lord, I've been redeemed. Lord, you snatched me from the devil. And I'm going to say so. Amen. So it said, knowing the time, it's time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In the next verse, wherefore be not. Tonight, we don't need to be unwise any longer. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. When you're in that stupor, you're trying to get out of it. You can't get it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. No, Revelation chapter 3, sorry. I'm going to speed up a little faster. Revelation chapter 3. Once again, we're dealing with a stupor, is a slumber, or is a what? Sleep. Slumber or sleep. Deacon, is it 8:30 yet?
8:18.
8:18. Oh, yeah, they were always actually at the same time. I got a good time. Last time was 8:18. Maybe this is the time I need to start stopping at 8:18. What time is it? 8:18? Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I guess your work. I might figure it out. God says what? I know what you're doing. I know how you're living. When nobody else sees you, God says, I still. I know. Amen. When you went out of the country, God says, I saw you. See, now, there ain't nobody here, but we don't go out the country, all right? So y'all know I'm not talking about you, amen? Except for Sharita, she might be sneaking over to Jamaica, all right? But he said, I know. Well, no matter where you go, God says, I know your works. Amen. So you were around, nobody else that was saved, so you blended in and you looked. Because what counsel, what connivance, what actions can we hide from God? He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name. Now this is unto the angel of the unseen church. This is unto the angel of the what? The same church of Sardis. He said, thou hast a name that thou livest. Yes, they say, you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got Jesus on your side, you're running for your life, you got the name that thou livest. He said, but your works say you're dead. Your name is right, but the works are wrong. Because the works are going contrary to God, and then he goes on a little to explain it. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works before God. Sometimes we get so confused in this spiritual stupor. We work hard to please everyone else, and we forget about God. Our works are supposed to be perfect before who? God. Then the next verse explains what shows the imperfections in our works toward God. He says this, remember therefore how thou hast received and what? He said, the problem is you've forgotten what you have heard. Amen. You have become a hearer of the word and not a doer. Therefore, you're not justified in your works. He said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. He said, you need to remember what you heard. Get out of that spiritual stupor. And Kennedy asked you a question. He said, if not now, when? If not you, who? When? Right now. Amen. Lord, I don't need to wait till next year. You know, we just keep putting it off. God already knows. He said, I know thy works. And let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Many times we feel, well, you know, anybody here got some mountain moving faith? You better have mountain moving faith. What kind of church are we in? What kind of church? I look and see what name's on the door. I mean, we put a new name when we come here. I don't mean the other name. We ought to have mountain moving faith because Jesus said, if you have faith of the grain of a
mustard
seed, that's the smallest of all the seeds. We can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the. That's mountain moving faith. If you got the Holy Ghost, you have to have faith. How receive you the Spirit? By the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. So if you got the Holy Ghost, you got faith. Though time has twisted, turned, and warped your spiritual sensitivity, you still have faith. He said, no, I don't want to start that. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8, yes. It says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Wait a minute, I don't want to go through all that. Because my time is running short. I don't want y'all to run out on me. I get discouraged. Let's go to verse 14. I don't want y'all to get discouraged. We don't have a lot of people then. I'll be talking to just myself, my kids, my grandkids. I'll be discouraged. Amen. It said, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has what? Faith. And have not works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? And then we're talking about faith. And we're talking about what? Works. Even so, faith, if it has not works, it is what? Dead, being, and long. Tonight, I'm sure we have faith. But when it comes to our works, Many of us are denying the Lord through the works. Amen. Our works are not what they should be. And God told the church of Sardis, I know thy works. Tonight, we must ask ourselves, what are our works? God knows your works and you know your works. Amen. Verse 18 reads, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. He said, but guess what? Even the devil believe and they tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's not good just that I believe God. I'm sure God can do this. He said, but you must also have the support of your works. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought and his works? And by words was faith made perfect or complete. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by words a man is justified and not by words only, by faith only. We're justified not just by faith, but also by our works. If we don't get involved with the work of God, we get in a stupor because our focus is off. The devil is using diversionary tactics, getting us to worry about this, that, and the other. Brothers and sisters, the most important thing that we have tonight that we should focus on should be our salvation. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Our souls tonight, it's a part of us that's going to live on forever. But the diversion the devil uses against us, it gets us focusing on secondary things. And we seem to neglect the primary. The primary thing is it well with my soul? Tonight, can you say you're free and that you're made whole? In closing, let's go to Romans chapter 2. We'll close here quickly. I'll go a couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 2, starting with verse 1. We must get out of this well of a spiritual stupor. That stupor, you come to church, you hear, you see, but you cannot respond from the heart. We respond from the lips, we respond from the mouth, but not from the heart. First one read, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest, a lot of times we are so quick to call anybody else false to record. But we are doing it. Same thing. Judges, for when thou judgest another, thou what? Condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. The diversion that the devil used, he gets us looking at everybody else and they're false. And we talk about how no good they are and how they need to change. But he said, you're doing the same thing. That's the diversion. He's getting you to look at everybody else to get them saved. You're going to wind up lost. Because after you preach others, you will become cast away. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to what? God judges according to the truth. God judges us according to our works. According to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinking thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God. We're not going to, there's no hiding place. We're doing wrong. Whatever reason we make for all of that, you know, the problem is you're in that sewer. You're in that well. Amen. The harder you fight, the worse you get. So you're easily, you know, most of the time we try to take the focus off of our wrong by focusing on someone else. But the problem is we still have to change. Amen. Doest the saying that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Amen. I messed up, but God is still good to me. God is still blessing me. God is still making ways for me, not knowing that the what? Goodness of the Lord is intended to lead us to repentance. And next verse, we'll close out on this verse. He said, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart. Now, the stupor, as we read in Romans, was that their hearts were blinded. That blinded means hardened. So he said, but after thy hardness and impenitent, in other words, you keep hearing God's word, but it's not penetrating. It's not effectuating change. Amen. It's not breaking that spiritual stupor. Treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day. He said he's just building up that treasure of wrath. Every time you come to church, every time you try to stay away from church, like so you don't hear the word, you're still treasuring up wrath. The problem is the heart has to change. Amen. Man looks at only what? Outward appearance. But God judges us based on our heart. Wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Amen. We've got to keep going a little further. Go back. What's the next? Go back to the verse. Back to verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds or works? To them who by patient, continuous, and what kind of doing? Well doing, seeking for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. How do you get this to what? Well doing. But to them that are contentious. Well, what makes you contentious? Do not what? Obey the truth. But obey unrighteousness, they're going to reap indignation and wrath. But glory, honor, and peace, tribulation, anguish, upon every soul. All right, go to verse 11. Since you want to jump between 9 and 10, go to 11. For there is no respect of person with God, let us say it. Tonight, I think many of God's people are called in a well of a spiritual stupor. We need to break that, but we can only do it through Jesus. Amen. Paul says, as we all stand, the weapons of our warfare tonight, and you can be guaranteed, you're in a spiritual war. Even if you're not saved in a war, you're in a bigger war if you're saved, because the devil has lost us and he's trying to get us back. Brothers and sisters, don't you realize he's going to fight till the end? His desire is to destroy every last one of us. You're in a war. You're in a fight. The devil does not want any of us to be saved. He realized he's a son of perdition. That means he can never be saved. He can never have eternal life. So his desire is to take as many of us to hell with him as possible. Tonight is important. Let's break this web. How do we do it? The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stupors. That spiritual stupor can even be pulled down through the word of God.
Can we say amen? Since it's not